Hi, I'm Sharad Kitten, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations of the day. Before there was 1MDB and a string of acronyms that suggested corruption in high places, there was Scopin. Now, this case, briefly put, involved the payments of more than ₱500 million from a French submarine maker to a Malaysian entity. On the French side, we have the DCNS and Thales, and on the Malaysian side, we have an entity called Perrymaker. Now, DCNS is now known as the Naval Group, is a French industrial group specializing in naval defense and a marine renewable energy. 10 years ago, the human rights organization Swarm filed a complaint with the French court requesting a preliminary inquiry into allegations surrounding the purchase of those Scopin submarines. Tonight on the show, we are very pleased to have lawyers for Swarm, William Baudin and Apolline Cagnet, who have been prosecuting this case on behalf of Swarm for the last 10 years. 10 years ago is a long time. But William, I want to begin with you and ask you, why was it that the French courts allowed for this case at that point in time? What did they see in it that they felt necessary to investigate?
First, I want to say that it was very courageous for my friends from Swarm to envisage to lodge a complaint. At that time, it's absolutely clear that one of the main suspects was in power. So it was very courageous. But it's not only the reasons why they came to me to envisage this complaint. It's also because it was potentially possible that some French companies, as you said, an individual, could be considered as part stakeholders of this fraudulous process. Two headquarters, two companies based in Paris, individual French citizenship of various chairmen, CIO, responsible. All this make absolutely clear that French jurisdiction could and have to be envisaged.
Okay. I could ask you, Apolline, to kind of update us. 10 years ago, the complaint was filed, there was the inquiry. Most recently, 2015, 2016, 2017, we have had indictments. We've had the former president of the company, Thales, as well as director of DCNS for misuse of corporate assets. We've had the CEO of DCNS for transnational active corruption and aiding in misappropriation of company assets. And in 2017, we had the former DCNS chairman, indicted for abuse of social assets. Now, these are technical terms. Apolline, help me. What do they mean?
Well, it means that using the assets of a company in order to favor a contract or to actually, by paying an intermediary in order to favor obtaining this contract, is puts a legal risk on the company and therefore is not in favor of the company and should not actually happen. So this is where those misdemeanors happen, and this is why this is what the investigations are actually trying to understand, trying to clarify, to see if this money, where it went, what was it for, was it to corrupt, and was it in the interest of the company when it puts a legal risk on the company.
Okay, so these were people working for an entity. This was not simply a question of willing buyer, willing seller. This was people doing something against the interests of their own companies, right? If I understand. What does, William, what does the word indictment mean in the French context? Does it mean that you have been found guilty and therefore are going to be sentenced? Is that the common understanding of what indictment means in a French context?
Okay, in many judicial culture, there are always two processes. The ultimate process is you are convicted. They are not at all convicted of anything. They have been indicted, that is to say, they have been formally considered by the investigative judge as suspect. They have been charged, as a prosecutor may charge someone in London or in New York, or I guess in Kuala Lumpur. So they remain presumed innocent. This is the main principle which has to be respected. But reminding this, we are also entitled to remind that all these individuals who occupied main position in their company, all of them deny, clearly they deny, all the charges. But let's keep in mind the fact that the facts occur something like 20 years ago, and time is running. And public opinion sometimes forget, and we forget also, that two decades ago, the culture was not the same. It was the beginning of a great adventure, which crossed the world as a good wind. That is to say, this idea that corruption cannot be accepted anymore and has to be fought.
Is that true of French society as well, that it is only really in the last 20 years that the French or Europeans as a whole have decided that corruption is something?
Absolutely. There was a new convention, OECD convention, adopted in 1997, which was implemented in France in 2000. And of course, there were already commitments against corruption during the 90s. But during all these years, there was an acceleration of this wind. This idea that corruption was a cancer for democracy, for rule of law, for growth, and at the end for the pocket of the consumer and the taxpayer. And this wind continued to cross all the planets permanently. So it's very weird. It's very weird that all these chairmen during this period, and of course they could not ignore this wind, they could not ignore this new convention, could have accepted, they are presumed innocent, could have accepted, they are suspect, could have accepted to close the eyes at minimum on the creation of various legal entities, vehicles in Hong Kong, in Singapore, to permit, to facilitate payments of commission, which are considered as bribes, as payment to foreign official by the investigative judge.
Right. So the convention that you mentioned, the OECD convention, is on combating bribery of foreign public officials. Apolline, the question, I guess, is, you know, of business practices. Kickbacks to foreign officials in order to win contracts. I mean, that must be a difficult one, maybe even for politicians in France to kind of figure out, right? Because you want your industries to grow. You want to be pro-business. But if business practice requires these kinds of trade-offs. You know, is that something that the French public has kind of grappled with, that they might lose contracts if they don't play the game?
I think lots of companies do think that without bribing, they will not get it, but get the contracts and everything. But at some point, this is why there are, international regulations, so that everyone actually plays the same fair game. Because otherwise, you know, it's like the one who pays the most who gets the most contracts. But you have to fight, you know, fair play again, respect the rules, and you just get the contract because you have to get the contract, and not because you're the highest bidder. And it was, yes, that's how it was before, but it needs to change, and it's changing. As William Bourdon just said, you know, it's a wind that it's slow, but it is changing. And at some point, if everyone plays by the rules, it would just be a very fair, market sort of. And there's no reason that it will stop other contracts from being signed at all.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a short break and come back. I'm speaking to the lawyers acting on behalf of SWARM, the human rights organization, William Bourdon and Apolline Cagnier. We'll be back shortly. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Shiraj Kutin. With me, William Baudin and Apolline Cagnier, lawyers for Swaram, the human rights organization. In the case of Scopin, so the allegations of corruption surrounding the purchase of two submarines, now some 20 years ago. We were talking about the indictments just now, and William, you explained very succinctly what an indictment means. So these basically have been charged. Now, the one name I did not mention is Razak Baginda. Now, he's part of the Malaysian side of the story. He was indicted in 2017 for complicity of bribery, acceptance of bribes, and concealment of misuse of company assets. Yeah. Now, help us understand, once somebody is indicted, how slow do the wheels of justice in France roll? I mean, you know, how long before they go to trial, and is it likely to go to trial? Is this the end of the story?
It's not so slow, paradoxically. Of course, it's slow. But there are many cross-border corruption cases which fail at the end. But finally, in this case, prominent responsible have been indicted. It was not so obvious at the beginning, based on Lee and statement from a little, not so little now, but anti-corruption NGO from Kuala Lumpur. This could appear as a kind of impossible battle, but they have been indicted. I hope that the case could be terminated in one year, 18 months. But it's always complex for a double reason. First, by definition, all the corruptors, not only corrupt, passively or actively, but always are obsessed to organize their impunity. And they organize their impunity by opacifying, dissimulating the illicit flows, in creating shell company completely empty except to receive illicit flows, Singapore, Hong Kong.
So a lot of complexity in the movement.
In a complex process, with this absolutely obsession not to leave any trace. But I refer to this idea of wind. And the wind has changed because some countries which were not cooperative 10 or 15 years ago now are cooperate. And there is a new wind also in Kuala Lumpur. There is a new government.
And which is why you're here.
Something like that. You remember me that I was arrested and expelled a couple of years ago. And this is the main enthusiast reasons to be there, is to see again my friends in Kuala Lumpur. And finally, at the end, it was the opportunity to meet some people there, but it was the first reason. Anyhow, you refer to this guy.
Razak Baginda.
Yeah, he's a key man. He has been indicted. He denied everything, all the charges. He is a chief orchestra. He could be the chief orchestra of all this secret process. He appeared in Permeca, he appeared in Terrasessi, the company created in Hong Kong. He appeared everywhere. And it's a key man, and simultaneously he was extremely close with who was the prime minister at this period.
Right.
These are the two key men in the Malaysia field of all this process.
I want to ask you this. I mean, the political nature of the case, right? So there's a criminal dimension, and you've outlined that quite well. But there was always a political dimension as well. How, as lawyers, do you negotiate that, the seeing to be acting in a way and influencing perhaps even the politics of contemporary Malaysia?
Well, I'm not sure we can actually influence as lawyers anything, but it's more like we see, and this is why I'm also going back a little on what you just asked, William, the time that this is going to take, because this change in the Malaysian government obviously opens new doors for the French investigations as well, because, and I go back to this political point, is that now cooperation, which we had zero hope for before, now cooperation between our two countries, judicial cooperation, is possible, and this is why we just want to, you know, do our best for this, to help this cooperation happen so that, you know, the archives that they have here could be open, could be, you know, shared between the countries. And this is where, you know, it was hard before this change of government, because obviously one of the most interested person in the whole case was the prime minister. But this has changed, and this really opens, like, new perspectives, for sure. But it may also maybe take a little more time, because not all of this needs to be analyzed and the countries to work together. So I'm not sure we have an influence, but we're obviously really willing to do our best so that the whole truth comes out and justice is brought in France, in Malaysia, and anywhere.
Right. William, the question of the association between men, and I wondered, as a lawyer, what journalists talk about when they talk about people being associated, not the same as evidence of complicity, is it? And the weight, the demands of a judicial process to prove that there is a link. At this point in time, is there evidence of a link between Razak Baginda, who already indicted, and Najib Razak, not yet indicted? And perhaps you could explain if he had immunity from indictment in the past.
So, about Najib Razak, he has no more immunity. So, if the judge...
He did before?
Yes. If the investigative judge considers that they are sufficiently charged to indict him, they will indict him. This is not our responsibility. This is the responsibility of the judge. Second, for the moment, the only thing we can say is that exists presumption, strong presumption, of a collusion between these two men. But fight against corruption is obliged to collect all the pieces of quite a weird and dodgy puzzle. And we have main masterpiece of the puzzle, but perhaps missing one or two. And especially, the judge still expects from Hong Kong authorities to execute an important letter of rogatory. This is public.
What does this letter do?
That is to say, a request from the French justice to Hong Kong authorities to collaborate, that is to say, to have access of all the bank account records of this shell company created by Thales in Hong Kong. And the access to the bank accounts potentially could give to the judge a complete mapping of where the flows, where all this money at the end ultimately arrive, in what pocket.
Who was the beneficiary of all this?
Who was the beneficiary? And let me tell you that, because something you remember all your life. when I was in Penang a couple of years ago, I took the floor and I said, one day the beneficiaries of the commission will be identified. And the evening after, I was arrested and put in a plane.
Okay, very good. Yeah. We'll come back and continue the story. I'm speaking to, William Baudin and Apolline Cagnier, who are both lawyers acting on behalf of Swaram, a human rights organization, in the Scorpine case. We'll come back shortly. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me Apolline Cagnier and William Baudin, both lawyers from France acting on behalf of Swaram, the human rights organization, in the Scorpine case filed some 10 years ago. We've had some indictments since, including the indictment of Razak Baginda, indicted for complicity of bribery, acceptance of bribes and concealment of misuse of company assets in that particular case. As William explained to us, the indictment is like a charge. The trial, he holds, will proceed in the next 1.5 years, I think you say, and hopefully even conclude. Now, there are many, many threads in the Scorpine case, including the murder of Altan Tuya, seen to be the translator, depending on how the story goes. Is the Altan Tuya murder case in any way related to the kind of work that you're doing, William, in the issue of Scorpine?
Yeah, the Altan Tuya murder gave a smell of thriller in this case. because this Mongolian lady not only appear as an interpreter, but appear certainly to have to had a role much more important. And she appeared to have, you know, she stayed in Paris for months. Why she was in Paris? What was her role? Did she meet some French of the suspects, among some of the suspects? Obviously, she knew everything about all the corruption process. And there are strong presumption to convince that because she knew all the story, she felt she was in capacity to put an enormous pressure because she was not paid of her remuneration, and she was killed. She was killed because the fact that she could open her mouth certainly fabricated an exceptional fear among those who didn't want, in any circumstances, to be accountable of what they did.
So you're speaking of the motive for her murder,
yes.
Right? Well, let's put that aside, and it's a big issue that perhaps the Malaysian media needs to take up more decidedly in the coming months. Now, I want to ask you about 1MDB, because that's the story of the last couple of years, and it seems to have, or credited to have, brought down the government of Najib Razak. Is 1MDB in any way related to the question of Scorpion? We know, of course, Najib Razak was the defense minister during the procurement or the decision to procure those submarines. What is the connection now between 1MDB and the contemporary situation of fighting corruption?
But the first obvious connection is it could implicate same individual, clearly. Same individual who could be considered before history to have deeply armed public interest here in Malaysia. There was a kind of corruption government culture. And secondly, I can confirm that there is a police inquiry in France under the control of the prosecutor, no investigative judge at that stage. And I can confirm that no one has been indicted for the moment in France. But the assets of an Emirati close to Najib Razak have been seized, which does not happen every day, and especially for an amount so important as 150 million euro, the value of the real estate, luxurious real estate, acquired by this Emirati in a context. Of presumption of huge laundering offenses committed on the French territory, and this gave jurisdiction to the French judge. This is part of a worldwide cross-border scandal involving DOG, US prosecutor, Luxembourg, and other countries. But we are just at the beginning of this story. Scorpion, we are close to the end. 1MDB, we are at the beginning.
Okay, wonderful summary. Apolline, tomorrow you're meeting with the Attorney General of Malaysia. I believe you also have met or are meeting with the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. Could you tell us what the discussions are going to be about, what they centered on?
Well, you know, it's just about, again, like I said earlier, there was zero cooperation possible before, and it's really just interesting to meet people and see the different motivations. We wouldn't want the case to overlap the different investigations here also. And also, you know, it's important to explain the different systems, I think, like how could the Malaysian authorities get help from the French authorities? So we're also, I think, trying to get a better knowledge of how it works here, how it works in our country, to try to maybe make smoothly cooperation work. So it's really mainly about this.
And, you know, finally, and I mean, the last few minutes that we have, William, you know, you mentioned again this wave, this wind blowing through the world of, you know, this lack of tolerance for corruption, especially by ordinary people who once accepted
Absolutely.
It or resigned to the idea of corruption as being something that people in high places didn't affect them. What do you think on the French side of the story? What do you think needs to happen? Is this more legislation that needs to be enacted to strengthen the fight against corruption, or is it just lucky circumstances? An administration falls in a country in question and opens up possibilities.
Fight against corruption. When a president or a prime minister renew commitments against corruption, it's not only because he's obliged to do it. It's because it's the interest, the public interest of the country, of the consumer, of the taxpayer. And secondly, you may have the best exemplary law against corruption, multiplication of anti-corruption prosecutor, commission, whatever, and nothing may happen. The reality is, at the end, nothing can occur without a sincere, long-term political willingness. And this means to give means to police forces, to give means to judge. This means that you are very aware of all the obstacles which could still exist in your administration, capable to mitigate the efficiency of fight against corruption.
People sabotaging, is that what
you mean? Kind of internal sabotage. It exists in many countries. And look what happened in South Korea, in Seoul. The former president has been sent to jail. The chairman of a main company has been sent to jail. And there is a kind of disinhibition all over the world vis-à-vis these main powerful guys in the private or the public sector. Judge public opinion now consider without any complex that it's possible by all means, in the respect of rule of law, to make them accountable. But at the end, the last shield for them, all this oligarchy, worldwide oligarchy, is the existence of tax haven, of shell company, which are more and more sophisticatedly possible because of globalization. And
that's
as long as will continue to exist in the planet, some countries which will refuse to cooperate, main international corruption will continue to have a long success for them.
Okay, let's wish them no success in the future. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. It's been wonderful. I learned a lot. I've been speaking to William Baudin and Apolline Cagnier, both lawyers from France, working on behalf of SWAM, the human rights organization, in the Scorpine submarine scandal. Stay tuned to this show every night at 10 p.m. I'm Sharad Kutin. This is Let's Talk, only on Astro One. Thank you so much. That was very good.